Okay, today is Thursday, June 20th. This is the Women's Chumash Share. We're in the middle of Bereshit, Perek Yud Chet, Parshas Vayera. Okay, Rabotai. Okay. Rabotai, we're going to finish up this unit today by simply reading the last pasuk of this particular unit. If you remember correctly, after the Malachim reported to Avraham that he and Sarah will be blessed with a child, Sarah was listening behind the door. She heard the information. She apparently laughed or ridiculed it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the angel, an angel or one of these three individuals, said to Avraham, why was Sarah laughing? Does she not believe that God is capable, not capable of providing these type of miracles? I promise that next year I will return and she will have a child. We explained all of that in great detail. And we will see Sarah's response and some of the very unusual interpretations about Sarah's response. So it is Pasuk Tet Vav. Vatichachesh Sarah Lemor. Sarah denied or lied, saying, Lo tzachakti, I did not laugh. Why? Ki yoreya, she was afraid. I'm just translating it loosely. Vayomer, and somebody said, Lo, that is not the case, my dear lady. Ki tzachakt, you did laugh. That's the simple reading, simple text itself. So, as we always do, we start with Rashi. So Rashi just tells us something very important about the word ki that appears hundreds and thousands of times in the text, and yet there are four possible meanings of the word ki. Arba lishonot shalki. The word ki, those two little letters, kaf yud, two words, two letters, one word, has four potential meanings. So, says Rashi, and here you have two of them. Says Rashi, ki harishon, in the phrase ki yoreya, mishamesh lashon deha, namely, shinosein ta'am ledavar. The word ki, the very first time, means to give an explanation for that which appears before it. Why is it that she said lo tzachakti? Why did she say lo tzachakti? Why did she apparently lie? Ki yoreya, because she was afraid. We'll see what she was afraid of. But she was afraid. So the first time that the word ki is employed in this pasuk, it is an explanation for that which precedes it. Vahasheni, and the second time that the word ki, same word, appears, mishamesh bilashon ela, meaning that the text is saying it is not the way you said it, but rather it is something else. And what does it mean? Vayomer lo. That is not correct, Sarah. Ki, rather what did you do? Tzachakt, you laughed. So Rashi simply points out that you have to be careful how you translate the word ki. Contextually, we naturally can translate it appropriately. But there are times when there is a debate amongst the Parshanim where a word key will appear and some will say it should be translated one way and others another way. Kimo she'amru rabosenu ki mishamesh ba'ar l'shonot. E, perhaps, dilma, if dilma perhaps, ella meaning rather than, deha because. So take hodu l'ashem kitov. Why should I say praise to God? Ki because le'olam chasdo, because he's forever kind. So the other interpretations of the word ki would have no meaning in that particular pasuk other than because, ki. That means, deha, because. So again, usually the context you can figure out what the pasuk itself has in mind.
Robert.
Yes?
No, but the same thing with Lotzach. You could say because
Yareya,
so it's like E.
Lo tzachakti ki Yareya. I mean, that's what Rashi said, because she was afraid.
I thought you said it was.
No, deha. Because she was afraid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I want to begin with the Ramban. If you take your handout, please, on page number 1. So, we already looked at the first comment of the Ramban on this particular pasuk last week, where he was puzzled, how is it that Sarah would ever contradict something that God had conveyed through a Navi? How is that possible? I can't understand it. I'm just going to reread part of the Ramban and then get to the part which he focuses on this pasuk. So if you look at the Ramban in pasuk on page 1, the Ramban says, Ani tama, I am perplexed, b'nivi'ah hatzadeket, eich tikachesh ba'asher amar Hashem l'navi. How could she possibly not believe, deny something that God communicated to her via the Navi and said to a Navi, and she herself is a Navi? V'gam lomo lo he'emina l'divrei malachei Elohim. Why didn't she believe these angels? V'hanira be'enai ki ha'malachim ha'ela hanirim ka'anashim ba'o el Avraham. The people, these messengers, never came to her. They came to Avraham. V'hu b'chachmato hikir bahem. Avraham, using his wisdom, his innate intuition, recognized that these are not people, they are what? They are angels. U'bisru oto, and they informed him, shov ashuv elecha u'lisarabein. And they informed him that we are going to return next year, and lo and behold, Sarah will have a child. V'sara shoma'at v'lo yad'a ki malachei elyonei. Sarah, standing behind the door, has no idea that these people are angels. She thinks they are what? Visitors, and that she was asked before to help prepare a meal for these visitors. Very nice theory. What we pointed out, the difficulty with the Ramban was, we mentioned this last week, why would three wayfair strangers know anything about having a child? How would they know that Abraham and Sarah were childless? How would they know that Sarah is going to give birth to a child? Three guys who are walking in the street, they're going to walk into your house and tell you that? It's bizarre.
It might be more like a wish. We see you don't have any children.
How do they know you don't have any children?
Next time we come, it would be.
Why? Because she's 127? Of course, they're all married, living someplace else. That's why. She's 90 years old. The kids are married off. They're living in Boca. Their tent is in Boca. The kids are not in Boca. But why would anybody say anything like this? It's just very, very difficult. But anyhow, just as, says the Ramban, ke'inyan be'eshet manoach. Good. We just read it this past Shabbos. Now, in the case of Eshet Manoach, did Manoach's wife not believe that this was an angel? She did. Who didn't believe her? Her husband. So it was the opposite situation. But there, I can understand it. Again, I can understand the husband. A guy comes and talks to his wife. Oh yeah, sure, he's an angel. Ah, what are you kidding? It's a little difficult to understand how Eshet Manoach actually believed that this is an angel of God. By what virtue? By what is this person? You know, what credibility does he have to convince her that it is an angel? The text doesn't tell us. We know nothing about Eshet Manoach. We don't even know her name. So the Ramban is saying that it ke'inyan be'eshes Manoach, he should have said Ba'alat Manoach.
Or Manoach.
Or yeah, Mr. Manoach. Manoach. Not because she actually believed that this individual who informed her was. No, doesn't say anything.
Could have been 20 years old.
Could have been 20, could have been 50, 100. We have no idea from the text. What?
The younger she is, the more she might believe what she's being told.
Correct. Right. Continues the Rambam. Ve'ulai lo ro'ata otam klal. Maybe she never saw them. Based on the presentation of the text, there does not seem to be any physical interaction between the three individuals and Sarah. That is true. Vatitzchak bikirba lila'ag. And when she laughed, she was ridiculing it. And he quotes Psukim and he says, Kimo Yoshev Bashamayim Yischak Hashem Yilag Lomo. And now he makes a point. Ki haschok Lisimcha hu bepeh. When you are happy and laughing as a happiness, it's out loud. As it says, Oz yimale sichok pinu. What will we say when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears B'shuv Hashem et Shiva Sion Ayinuka Chomayim? Oz yimale sichok pinu. Aval haschok belev lo yomar b'simcha. But schok internally is usually not an outburst of joy, because the whole idea of outburst of joy is you can't restrain yourself. You must go ahead and actually say that and express it. So I just want to pause here for a second and use this to address the question that we asked last week and the week before, is why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not angry at Avraham when he laughed? And Targum Onkelos in translated the same word that Yitzchak was v'chadi, he was happy. Well, how do I know Avraham was happy and that Sarah was ridiculing? How do I know? So go back, after I saw this Ramban, I took a peek back, and I want to share that with you, what I thought of. So, it starts in chapter 17. It is verse 15, and then 16, and then 17. So, we'll just reread them quickly. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tetvav, Tet Zayin, and Yud Zayin. I'm going to read it now. Vayomer Elohim el Avraham, Sarai ishtecha, lo tikra et shema Sarai ki Sara shema. Uberachti ota, vegam natati mena lecha bein, uberachti ha, vahaita legoyim, malchei amim imena yiyu. Vayipol Avraham, al panav vayitzchak. Well, did he say anything?
No.
So what influenced Chazal, Parshanim, to interpret the Vayitzchak here in a positive light and not in by Sarah. Ramban just told us that outward happiness has to be expressed. Avram didn't say anything.
But it didn't say the kibbo.
Okay, that is true. That is true. That is true. Vayomer bilibo haleben me'ashenai valei. So that should be the same ridicule. It's bilibo. So I suggest to you that what gave it away is the first is the opening phrase. Vayipol Avraham al panav. What does Vayipol demonstrate? Thank you, Rabbeinu Shloimeh. You're right. He didn't say anything. By virtue of prostrating himself on the floor, that in itself is a very loud, a demonstrative thank you. Hence, that is Biper. Therefore, Vayitzchak is interpreted Vachadi, as Unkele says, that he rejoiced and was not... So there is reason for Parshanim to discriminate between Avraham and Sarah due to Avraham's reaction. And in fact, it goes one step further. One step further. If you go to Pasuk... let's read just for a second, Yud Tet through Chaf Bet for a second. In Perek Yud Zayin, I'm going to read it quickly again. Vayomer Elohim, Aval Sarah Ishtecha Yoledet Lecha Bein, Vekarata Et Shemo Yitzchak, Vahakimoti Et Briti Yitol Levrit Olam, Uli Yishmael Shmaticha. Don't forget in Pasuk Yud Chet, Avraham registered a complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's nice that I'm having a new child, but I already have a child. What's going to happen to him? Lu Yishmael Yichel Lefanecha. I'll be happy if my first son lives a great life. You know, don't tell me about my next son. I want to hear about what's going to happen to this one. I'm not exactly sure what direction he's headed in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry, Uli Yishmael, Shmaticha. But, at Beriti, my covenant, Akim et Yitzchak, Asher Teleid Lecha Sara Lamoed Hazeh Bashana HaCheret. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham makes a request, Rabbeinu Shalom, please take care of my Yishmael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I will take care of him, but I want to repeat again. My ultimate covenant that I just established with you, this covenant, is not going to be fulfilled through Yishmael, but only through the child who will be born to Sarah, who I tell you shall be called Yitzchak. And now, does Avraham say anything? Thank you, Rabbeinu Shalom, for this? Now, and the next pasuk, we discussed this at the time, I'm not going to elaborate everything we said. Vayechal daber ito, vaya'al Elohim me'al Avraham. I pointed this out to you, it's something that takes place at the end of Perek Yud Chet. We're not going to see it now. But this type of a phrase rarely appears in Tanakh, where God speaks to somebody, and when he's finished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he has to do. So last night when he finished talking to somebody at 7:05, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to do at 7:05? Watch the Yankee game. That's what he did at 7:05. This afternoon, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what his next thing is, but it doesn't say frequently in the text that God left when he finished speaking. Two times. Here and in Vayera. I told you once what the Vayera means. That's after the tefillah of Avraham with Sdom. I told that to you already. Didn't I not?
Not recently.
Not recently? Okay, so I'll remind you in a second. What does it mean here? God, whatever it is, it means that God is anticipating something and is leaving because he doesn't want to hear it. He wants to see something else or do something else. What? There are several ways in which you can acknowledge God's promise. You can say thank you, Rabbi Yishlam, and just say praise with words. But sometimes you can have much greater praise by simply following through and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you to do. What was that brit? In what context did the promise to Yitzchak and the response to Ishmael take place? What was the context? We did the whole parak. Brit what? Brit Milah. Brit Milah. Now, this is no easy challenge for a 90-year-old man to circumcise himself. It's not that Katzenstein's running around saying, I'm here to circumcise. He had to do it himself. That's not easy. And to circumcise Yishmael, 13-year-old, not easy. And all of those other 318 people who are hanging around his house, it's not easy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? I know you can say thank you. But what do I really want? What's the ultimate litmus test? I want you to do what I told you to do. So as Avraham is being told, I respond to your complaint about Yishmael. I reiterate my promise about Yitzchak. Vayechal Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vaya'al Elohim. God's out of here. So what does Avram not have a chance to do? To fall down and fall down, to say thank you, Rabbi Nishalem. He only has one way to express his thank you. That is to do what? The next pasuk. Vayikach Avraham Yishmael, but no. And what did he do? He did the bit, and then Avraham Yishmael, behi molo b'sar or lato. Sometimes the greatest thank you is simply to comply with the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all he needs. And that's an important lesson, number one, right there and then. But his compliance and his prostration is part of the reason why no one ever suspected that Avraham was ridiculing and didn't believe. Sarah, we have no such reaction on her part. And hence, Ramban tells us, since there was no verbal or action demonstrating her acknowledgement and thank you, therefore I am compelled to interpret this in a rather negative sense using the word la'ag, which is a very strong expression. You know, ki hayinu la'ag v'keles bagoyim. We say this on Monday and Thursday in Tachnun. Just to whet your appetite, if you go to the end of Perek Yudchet, I'll tell you about the other time that the Torah, and this is not mine in Yudchet, the other one is my contribution. But if you go to the end of Perek Yudchet, good. So Avraham, for the last five psukim, before Pasuk Lamed Gimel, prays on behalf of Sdom. And he starts, if there were 50 tzaddikim, 45, and each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will do something. When we actually get to those psukim, I'm going to show you the differentiation between his requests of 50, 45, 40. It's not just a repeat performance. Everything is some other, and there are different responses. Lo e'eseh, I won't do this. We'll get to that when we get to it. But then the question that troubled everybody. Why didn't Avraham ask for less than 10? Every parshan asks about it. Says Rashi, why didn't he ask for less than 10? Because he saw, Avraham did, that there were 9 at the time of Noah, and 9 tzaddikim were not sufficient to save the world. Who were the 9? Noah, his 3 sons, their respective wives, and God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts as a force. And there are only 9 forces of righteousness, and it did not suffice to save the world. That's Rashi's interpretation. So therefore he didn't ask for less than 10. Ibn Ezra says The reason why is because ein davar shebikdusha pachot me'asara. We don't say kedusha, kadosh kadosh. We don't say baruch hu with less than 10 people. What's that got to do with this?
Well, it's a reversal. We don't do that because of this. Because 10 is a kehila.
Yeah, so the Rav explained this in the following fashion. Where do we learn that you need 10 people for a minyan? Anybody? Not from here. Anybody know? The Gemara cites the source. From the Meraglim. The Meraglim? How many bad Meraglim were there? 10. Good. Asks the Rav, you mean to tell me that's the best source you can have to recite Kedusha? That there were 10 Meraglim? 10 guys who didn't? So he explained, what was the Jewish population numbers like at that time? So the Torah tells us there were 603,550 men between age 20 and 60. So there were probably approximately 603,550 women also in that age. Then there are many below, many above. So you're talking about several million people. 7 million people who had witnessed Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, the Mun. Wow. And 10 people can convince several million people not to believe in God that we can successfully conquer Eretz Yisrael. 10 people. So you see the power of influence when you have a core group of 10, what they can do to an audience of several million people. Can you imagine, alachas kama v'kama, how much 10 people who are committed for what? For righteousness can accomplish to influence a wicked generation. If 10 could influence negatively, 10 can certainly influence positively. Therefore, less than 10, Avraham didn't ask. Because the minyan, the quorum, is 10 people. Then, the third one is Rabbi Kanatopsky's, who suggested Avraham wanted to ask for less than 10. He wanted to ask God, you mean to tell me if there's one tzaddik, you're going to kill him with all the Rishayim? So what does the Torah say? Vayelech Hashem kasher kila ledaber Avraham. God checked out! Why did he check out? Because he didn't want to hear it. Because the answer, unfortunately, is sometimes righteous people suffer together with Rishayim. And I can't explain it to a human being. I can't. So whenever there is something happening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to avoid, how does the Torah text tell us that there was something else to follow? Vayelech Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to hear. But it only happens twice in Tanakh. Here in this and that last parasha. But let me invite the Ramban. Let me invite the Ramban. Not sure. No, I have not. It's an interesting, good point. I have not thought about that. Don't know. Yeah. Now let's continue the Ramban. And then he writes on the bottom of page 1. V'hakadosh baruch hu he'eshim ota le'Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he do?
Accused her.
Ratted on her to Avraham. Lama hayad hadavar nimna be'eneha. Why was this so impossible to believe? V'ra'ui la shita'amin. She should have believed it. O shetomar amen, ken ya'aseh Hashem. Or either she should at least say whether even if she thought that they were what? Ordinary individuals who say, you're going to have a child. What should be a response? Halavai! Kein yihi ratzon! Like when we say to Berchat Kohanim, Kein yihi ratzon! Vihine Avraham amare leha lama tzachakt hayipalei me Hashem davar velo piresh eleha ki Hashem gila elav soda. He never revealed where he got this information from. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that what? That she left. He didn't share that with Sarah. What? Rechilut? It is. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling her to Lashna, telling him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's doing. Vehi mipnei yirato shel Avraham tikachesh. Who is she afraid of? Why she lies?
Avraham.
Good. What's the other alternative? She's afraid of God. So Ramban claims she's afraid of Avraham. Ki chashva Avraham behikaret paneha. Avraham recognized in 2 seconds that what? Looked at her face and knew that she was lying right off the bat. Yomar came, O mitnei shishatka velo natna shevach vahoda b'davar velo simcha. Or when what? When confronted with the information, what could you have expected for her to say? Oh, thank you, excellent, great. She didn't say anything of the sort. And all she did was deny. Vahu amar lo kitzachakt. Hu amar lo kitzachakt. Az hevina, then she understood, ki benivua ne'emar lo kein, that Avraham found out through prophecy, through these angels, v'shatka v'lo anta oto davar. After this point, the Torah goes on to a different topic. So what did Sarah say after she was accused of lying? Nothing. She acknowledged that she was wrong, and end of discussion. Now the Ramban adds one other thing, and you will not be happy with his answer. V'ra'ui shino umar od. We should add something else. Ki Avraham lo gila oto hane'emar lo mitchila. Aval Sarah ishtecha yoledet lecha ben. Why did Avraham, we saw it in Perek Yud Zayin, God came to him and said that Sarah's having a child. Don't you think Avraham should have said something to Sarah and not wait until these angels and get her into trouble? Why didn't he just tell her? The Rabbeinu Shel Olam came to me and said, we are going to have a child. Ulai himtin, perhaps Avraham calculated and decided to wait. Ad shloach Hashem eleha b'sura b'yom machar. Maybe Avraham figured that what? Maybe tomorrow HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to what? Tell her directly. Ki yada ki lo ya'aseh Hashem Elohim davar ki im gilas sodo el avadav hanevi'im. Since Avraham knows that God doesn't do anything without what? Informing his prophets, and Sarah is a prophetess, so maybe he figured, you know what? I'm not going to spoil the surprise. Let her hear it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's one possibility. Oh, suggest alternatively, Meirov Zerizuto B'mitzvot Hayatarud B'milato U'milat Ra Amra B'Sher B'Beito V'acharkein B'chushato Yashav Lo Petach Ha'oel V'hamalachim Bo Teru La'agid Shehigid La'davar. You know, he was busy with a mitzvah. He didn't have time to tell her. Then he got a little weak, and these angels come. Fine. Not the most compelling answer in the world. Neither are the most compelling answers in the world. But But at least he raises the question, why didn't Avraham tell Sarah right away? And the question is a better answer, better than the answer. Why didn't? Then we would never have come to this drama. She would have been told by her hubby, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, and that's the end of that. Let's move on for a second. I want you to take a look at for a second. Take a look at go back to page 1. And check Sforno on the bottom of the page. Ki Yoreya. How did Rashi and the Ramban interpret Ki Yoreya? She was afraid that what? What was she afraid of? That her husband. She was afraid of her husband that what? That she lied. Very nice. Says Sforno. Ki Yoreya. What was she afraid of? Lomar Chatasi. She was afraid to acknowledge and simply say, you know what? I made a mistake. I was wrong. So who might she be talking to? Who might be the person and the speaker in the pasuk? It's not Avraham. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Vatichachesh Sarah lemar lo tzachati ki yareya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to her directly. Aval, hir hara teshuva biliba. In order not to make Sarah a totally wicked person, she actually acknowledged and thought to herself that she was dead wrong. But to articulate it, to state it out loud, is a lot more difficult. And that is why one of the requirements when you do tshuva is to recite vidui bepeh. Because it's very hard to do. Very hard to say vidui bepeh. And Sarah, according to Sforno, had that opportunity to do so. And she didn't take advantage of it. Furthermore, on the next side, right opposite, Chizkuni, you're not going to like it. I don't like it either.
It makes sense.
But, says Chizkuni, Vatechachesh Sarah Limor, Mikan Shahanashim Pesulot Le'edut. From here we learn that women are disqualified to serve as witnesses in court. Lefi shemakchashot b'nei hayira. They are weak and afraid and deny things based on being afraid. Now, just give me 1 second. I am shocked at Chizkuni. There is a midrash that does say this. But the Gemara itself claims that the source of women being disqualified has nothing to do with their trustworthiness. Zero. If you will open up to Devarim for a second.
Perek. It is chapter 19, if the unit starts at, in verse, we'll take a look at Pasuk Tezvav for a second. Tezvav and then
18.
So the topic here is people who have disputes. Or they engage in transgression. So in the middle of Pasuk Tevav, the Torah says, Al pi shnei edin, or al pi shlosha edin, yakum davar. How do we verify and ascertain that something took place? The spoken testimony of two witnesses. Very nice. Now, if you read Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ve'amdu lahem shnei anashim ashalahem ariv, tell me who the subject of that particular pasuk is. The subject of that pasuk.
The litigants.
The litigants.
That's correct. That's the simple pshat. The two litigants shall stand in the presence of God. The Gemara, the Midrash Halacha, says that the pasuk is talking about the witnesses. That number one, the witnesses have to stand when they testify. The Amdu Shnei Anashim. And then the Midrash Halacha says, Anashim v'lo Nashim. Lo Nashim. It's not the pshat, and it's one of the things which, according to Rambam, Rambam believes that whenever you have a Sanhedrin, they have a right to reinterpret psukim and disagree with the reading of a previous Sanhedrin Agadol, which this comes from, and they're going to change it. There's no doubt about it. They will change it, and women, one of the earliest things they will do is say that women can testify. I am convinced of it today, no doubt. But anyhow, it has nothing to do with the fact that they're lying. Moshe Rabbeinu was not permitted to serve in the court. A melech is not allowed to testify in court. Why is he not allowed to testify in court? Because people are going to be afraid to challenge him. No one else, just one second. No one says it's because he's lying. If I want to testify about my brother, I can't testify. You know, I'm an honest guy. Well, then you know, Moshe and Aaron cannot testify together against someone else. Are we going to accuse Moshe and Aaron about lying? No. Two brothers, Kroivim, cannot testify, even if they're not related to either litigant. If they are related to themselves, they cannot serve as witnesses. Why not? Moshe and Aaron can't be the Eidei Kedushin at your child or grandchild's wedding. It has nothing to do with not lying. So it's a strange comment, and to claim that all women get intimidated and therefore they're going to lie, there are plenty of men who lie as well because they're also going to be intimidated. Yes?
But it makes sense that if a woman does not have her own independent household and she's subject to her husband's whims and dictates, that there is a possibility that he will tell her, sweetheart, you go into court, they ask you, this is what you're going to say, sweetheart, or don't expect any household money and you're sleeping in the bar.
Okay, I can hear that.
She is, just as her time is not her own,
yeah,
her testimony is not necessarily able to be given without...
I hear. Okay. I just wanted to show it to you. You should see it's there. It's a little troubling. I grant you that. But Chizkuni is, again, one of the Rishonim commentators. And we have to, you know, see what he says.
The problem with what you're saying is that everybody has vulnerabilities like that. You can have it from work. I mean, you can have it from your other family influence. So
that is correct.
You can't function like that if you're afraid to do anything.
That is true.
Well, for instance, a slave cannot testify, correct?
Correct.
Same reason?
No. Even though it's interesting, Or HaChaim says that's precisely what Sarah felt like. A slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a slave will, whenever accused of doing something wrong, is so intimidated by the master that they're going to lie about it all the time. They can't acknowledge to their master, I did something wrong, because they think saying I did something wrong is going to get them fired as opposed to just lying about it. That's Or HaChaim. I have it on the sheet here. And that's how he presents Sarah in that particular role. But he claims psychologically that always happens when you're intimidated. You'd rather lie than acknowledge you did something wrong. So somebody who's a psychologist, can somebody somehow try to analyze that? But there is a phenomenal statement. If you go to the last page for a second, I want to just want to show you one or two things cited in the Midrash. Vatichachesh Sarah lemor lo tzachakti ki yireya, says the Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, has a lot of very, very strange things in it. Very strange. The most notable thing that it has in it is that somebody cannot marry a young woman whose name is the same as her mother-in-law. Either mother or mother-in-law. Not allowed to. Not allowed to get married to a person who has the same name as her mother-in-law, as his mother-in-law. And the reason given is because if they are living in the mother-in-law's house, as many people did, and he calls for her to come to bed, his wife, the mother-in-law is going to come to bed. That's what the Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says this. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid has lots of things which he wrote about, and very few people accept them, but it's a very famous work. So he writes, Lefi shekizba al yedei Yitzchak, since she lied with Yitzchak's birth, Lefikach mesa al yedei Yitzchak ba'akeda so. How did she die? Because this is a unit on Midah Keneged Midah. She died when she heard that Yitzchak was on the Akedah. According to the Medrash, that was the cause of her death. So he relates this, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, this is Midah Keneged Midah. She lied or doubted the birth of Yitzchak. So now when Yitzchak, that's going to cause her death as well. Her death. It's a very startling type of a statement, but nonetheless, that's what he says. Then if you go to page 5, there is another troubling medrash, but this is a real medrash. Psikta is a regular medrash. Now, there is we offer two possible alternatives as to who the speaker in the pasuk that we read. Is it Avraham or is it God? So the psikta says, "May olam lo nizkak hakadosh baruch hu lahasiach im isha." God never speaks to women, and the reason why he doesn't speak to women is because men are portraying God the way they portray themselves. The holy holies don't speak to women. So if you don't speak to women, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't speak to a woman either. Okay. Ela im hatzadekes hazos. There's only one person with whom he spoke to directly, and that is Rivka. Vayomer Hashem lo. Shnei goyim bebneich in Parshat Toldot, when he informed her that you're having twins. But other than that, God generally avoids it. Hence, by telling us this, what is the Midrash trying to suggest? That who is the speaker in this pasuk? Avraham, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak to women. Okay. I'll give you another example of that. We know that Moshe and Aharon died with what we call mitat neshika. Right? They just lie down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it. It's not that you have a heart attack, you don't, no kidney failure, nothing. So Rashi, in the name of the Medrash, says that Miriam also died al pi Hashem. But the text doesn't say it. It just says, Vatamat Shah Miriam. Doesn't say Alpi Hashem. Says Rashi, she died with Neshika also. But the Torah doesn't want to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissed a woman. Doesn't want to say it. But, so, yes.
Instead of raising man to God's level, they're bringing Hashem down to man's level.
That is correct. Because that's the way we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We envision him of Yemincha Hashem. We have no way to have a conception of God unless he appears to us as Superman. But even Superman looked like a human being. So we all remember George Reeves. Yeah. Yeah. All right, we'll stop here, Rabotai. Want to wish everybody a good, healthy summer. I think we accomplished a lot this year. And we will pick up exactly where we left off.
After
After the summer. I'm not. I think it's so long that it might start it even before Sukkot. But I always have this conflict. I have, you know, I can't. I got to watch my voice also, because I daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so I can't overdo.
Take a week off. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of 2 weeks. I'll see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. The present.
My neighbor.